Holy shit, I'm having a malfunction.
You did too?
Hold on. I just hit myself in the eye. It took you forever to get yours open. Hopefully that's not a harbinger for the show to come. My goodness, we are back with another episode of the Sports Bar Podcast. He's Alex. I'm Scott. And
stumbling and bumbling out of the gates.
Stumbling and bumbling out of the gates. I tell you what, it's been a time. This show, in a world where sports have been gone, they've come back, they're at weird hours, they're all day long some days, they're not on other days. And the one thing I thought I had going for me, once they announced sports are coming back, as I was like, you know what? My guy Alex, we'll be able to get together, watch some games, drink some cold beers out of our ice mule coolers. And you know what we haven't been able to do much of? That very thing, because this guy never stops. Never stops. You're everywhere all the time. You're in Pensacola. You're doing yard work. You're just, you put me to shame as a guy who actually relaxes some on the weekends.
Dude, it's a lot. It's a lot. I came home from work today, mowed the lawn. This weekend worked 16 hours picking up a little side landscaping gig. I was in bed both nights, Saturday and Sunday night, by 8:30, asleep. Like I cracked a beer and I was like, oh, yep. Maybe it's a wine night. Drank the beer, drank a couple sips of wine, and was like, all right, I'll see y'all later. I'm tucking myself in. But did you splash yourself with the beer there?
Yeah, I went with a nice local brew here from Intuition Ale
Works. I feel
like
the craft beers always...
They just got more going on, you know? A little more...
A little more oomph.
Yeah, a little more to
them. Yeah, my malfunction strictly because for the first time on this show, maybe ever, I open up my fridge... And there's no beer cans ever. I was like, well, I could drink a LaCroix. And I was like, well, I wouldn't be able to look myself in the eye on this podcast. You know how you see your own screen on the podcast?
Yeah, we got to take
sip I took of a LaCroix. I'd be like, oh, that shit ain't going to work.
We still got to take this thing seriously, man. I mean, you can't do that.
Oh, absolutely. Look at the respect I have for the program here.
Respect for the program. Speaking of the program, we got a busy one for you here tonight. Of course, NBA playoffs started on Monday with a quadruple header on ESPN, and we're going to have games all hours of the day for the next couple of weeks, which is exciting. We're going to dive into that a little bit and some betting angles to that. And then we've got a little bit of a football fix for you. Nothing we have gone into the weeds. Well, we've gone super deep on some topics here football-wise over the last couple of weeks, Alex. We're going to try and keep things a little snappier, a little lighter, and bounce through a handful of football things as we, believe it or not, inch ever closer to the start of football season. Here, let me give you some dates here. We are 23 days from the NFL opener, the Thursday night game between the Chiefs and the Texans. 23 days.
23, hell of a number.
And this is, of course, folks, for as you're listening to this on a Tuesday. We're recording on a Monday, but I'm doing the math for you. 23 days from Tuesday. 16 days from Tuesday from the college football opener. Can you guess which two teams are currently scheduled to play the very first college football game this year, Alex?
It would be ACC because it's not SEC.
Nope.
Okay.
You're never going to guess this.
Big 12?
Nope.
Yeah, give me the conference.
CUSA and Sun Belt. It's a non-conference game.
A big Tulsa versus...
Tulsa is no longer in the CUSA. They are now in the AAC.
Oh, God. All right. Give it to me.
Southern Miss hosting South Alabama 16 days from now. In Hattiesburg.
Oh, boy.
That is tickets. Oh, you can get them as low as $44.
What a rip. They can't get – are you shitting me? There's a pandemic right now. They can't get an ass out of the garage of someone's – you can't get anyone to bring the car out of the garage because of the pandemic, and they're going to charge $43 to watch South Alabama versus Southern Miss.
It was crazy. I had to go to the website to like confirm because, you know, Google's like an ESPN. I didn't know if those were accurate. But yeah, they had a scrimmage on Saturday. And right at the end, they were like season tickets. You can still get them here. They're 16 days from the opener.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
They're good in for the them. Deep South, man.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to be locked in to a little.
Oh, I'm going to watch it.
Little Southern Miss little South Alabama.
I'll tell you right now, here's for all my betting buddies. We are taking the Golden Eagles minus the points right now.
Don't like the Jaguars in that matchup.
Don't
okay,
like
I got gotcha. You.
Right now.
I got gotcha. You.
Southern Miss minus the points. Lock it in.
Speaking of the betting, why don't we start things off with a little NBA playoffs discussion. As we mentioned, Monday, the playoffs got started, but that doesn't mean we still can't talk about some of this stuff. Some of these lines will have certainly shifted based off of early results, game ones of four of these series. But I do want to run through, according to the Action Network, some of these playoff lines and get your thoughts on whether or not some of these you could still bet on. As you're listening to this, I'm sure. And some of these may have shifted based off of game one. But I want to get your expert opinion on these, Alex, and let's run through them here. The Oklahoma City Thunder and the Houston Rockets. Oklahoma City plus 176 against the Rockets in that series. Would you touch the Thunder to win that one?
To win the series?
Yes.
Man, it all depends on the health of Russell Westbrook coming back. I know they're resting him, but CP3 is going to bring it. You're going to see, and if Russ isn't there covering him, I think that's going to be really interesting. But now I don't see the star power there outside. One thing about Oklahoma City, which surprised me, throughout the year I had to learn to stop betting against them, and I started betting on them, and they almost always delivered. Almost always delivered because they play so well together as a team. They really are just a good team. But no,
coach.
Old Billy D.
Yeah,
Billy D. But no, I'm taking the Rockets there. I wouldn't touch that one.
That went from plus 320 down to plus 176. By the way,
A lot of money pouring in on the Rockets. I mean, on the Thunder.
Yeah, and that Westbrook injury, as you mentioned. All right, how about the Denver Nuggets and the Utah Jazz, Denver minus 195 to win the series? That's a 3-6 matchup. Do you like Denver or Utah? Denver did win game one on Monday.
So Denver won game one today in an overtime battle.
Yeah.
Where
and they played
Donovan
overtime.
Mitchell was lights out.
Yeah, they played overtime twice now in the bubble and had unbelievable games.
They're so evenly matched. I love that series in general. Might be one of my favorite series of this whole thing. The thing is, they did the same thing last year. Same series, same teams, and I was locked in because Malik Beasley, Florida State player, was on the Nuggets at the time. So I was locked in. He was sixth man, playing a lot of minutes for them. I am taking the Nuggets there. I don't think Mitchell's going to stay hot. In fact, just so you know, I have a couple wagers that I've already placed that I didn't tell you about.
Okay, enlighten
me. So I will tell you what's fun to me is these spreads out right now on series. So a series spread. And it's, let's see. I'll go ahead and pull it up, and you tell me the next game. But yes, I'm taking the Nuggets. Where are you on that one, by the way?
Man, if the Jazz had won today, I would have been kind of in favor of them pulling off the upset. But they're now 0-4 against the Nuggets this year, and it just seems like when push comes to shove, the Jazz can't slow down the 1-2 punch of Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic, and that's what they did to win today.
Yep, and you saw it was a high-scoring game. I just think if Mitchell isn't going the way Mitchell's going today,
he was 60-something today.
Yeah.
Career high. I mean,
57 or something. Yeah. Something absurd. And he's a D-Wade-esque player. He can take it to the rack better than he can shoot, but he can shoot still.
Mm-hmm.
So when he gets that shot on, he's gonna let it rip. But I actually took the Nuggets there to win in a 4-2 win.
Oh, okay.
And the odds were pretty sweet, so that's why I did it. But I also took them with a 4-3, just to give you a little hint.
All right, how about this one? The Boston Celtics, Philadelphia 76ers matchup. That's another 3-6. And then right now the Celtics are favored minus 350 to win that series. Game going on as we speak, by the way.
Yeah, it's a 3-point game here with 41 seconds left. Celtics are up. Looks like they just extended their lead to 4 with under a minute. I'd take the Celtics, but at the same time with those odds, I'm staying away from it. You know, I mean, that's what you're asking, right? Am I putting my money on it?
Yep.
Yeah. If I had to put money on that with those odds, I'd probably still have to go with the Celtics. I just don't think the 76ers can shoot, and I don't think they're going to be able to hang long enough when they can't shoot. Embiid's having a great game today. Everyone kind of thought he would if he was healthy, and that was the question. So, yeah, I'm going Celtics. They have so many stars. If they could put it together between Kemba, Jason Tatum,
and Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, Jaylen Brown.
They have a lot of stars, but none of those stars have ever done anything of any significance in a postseason.
Right, Gordon Hayward. Yeah. I agree. But that's
The 76ers without Ben Simmons. I just don't, you know.
I like Marcus Smart off the bench. He's a spark plug. Marcus Smart plays really hard defense. And, you know, he comes in at point. He can also play two. But, yeah, I mean, what would you do there with those odds? Those odds are terrible.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot to work with there. I mean, no, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't touch it, honestly.
You're allowed to gamble on golf, right? Legally, by the NCAA as an NCAA employee.
Yes.
Okay, great. We're gonna work on that. Carry on.
Miami Heat favored to win over the Indiana Pacers in a 4-5. Heat -325.
With those odds, I wouldn't do it at all because, just like I said, the 76ers cannot shoot the three ball. The Heat shoot the heck out of the three ball. What happens if they go cold? And that's what scares me with those odds. Yeah. I watched them the other day against the Bucks for a seeding matchup last week, and they were blowing the Bucks out. They could not miss from three, and God, why am I blanking on his name? Duncan Robinson was on fire. And then guess what? Everyone else on their team went cold, and the Bucks came back and won.
He's like the best shooter in the game. It's unbelievable.
He's wild. He's fun to watch because he's not the best shooter in game. But
well, like numbers-wise, he shoots like over 40. He shoots like close to 45% from three.
Which is absurd.
Yeah, and that's all he does. So, he only takes threes.
I think just because of the odds I'd be getting, I'd take the Pacers there because the odds would be so in my favor. And I think the Pacers can hang with them. TJ Warren's had a great bubble.
Maybe the MVP.
I mean, I think they gave out awards,
of the bubble, right? Not the
no. Yeah, of course not.
Well, and it's all the bubble doesn't count. So those awards are pre-everything.
Okay.
Bubble is all that counts. Yeah. Kind of an interesting way to go about that. But
yeah. I mean, the NBA has done some interesting things, but they've also been the only ones that have been able to put a successful product on the floor. The NHL doing it as well. So, but yeah, I'd take the Pacers there. Not that I don't know how I feel about that with my own money, my own wallet. I'm staying away from that one. Mm-hmm. But I think that's going to come down to a game six, game seven for sure. I mean, I would lean Heat, though, if I had to. But with those odds, money-wise, I'd be going on Pacers.
The Dallas Mavericks and the Los Angeles Clippers in a series that I think it intrigues quite a few people. That one, here's what I've got. I've got the Clippers favored to win the series, as would be expected, in a 2-7. They are favored -375.
I mean, I picked the Clippers to win it all.
Okay, so you're gonna
you know where I'm leaning. Yeah, but I like the matchup a lot. The only reason I would be willing to risk the Clippers, and I did tonight actually, just so you know, part of my parlay is the Clippers. So all the rest of the game's already hit. I took Boston first half, they hit. I took Toronto first half, they hit. Just to increase my odds a little bit as opposed to taking them full game. And then I took the Clippers because you put Paul George or Kawhi on Luka, and they're two of the best top five, in my opinion, defenders in the game between PG-13 and Kawhi Leonard. So you slow Luka down. You hope Porzingis doesn't absolutely light it up. And then, you know, from there, what on Dallas scares you as opposed to how deep the Clippers are? Clippers are winning that one. Go ahead and empty your wallet. Go ahead and I know the odds are not in your favor. Risk a million to win 10 grand. You know, whatever it is, do it.
All right, last one for you. And this one's more of a joke than anything else because none of these other odds are anywhere close. But
you're a bastard.
The Milwaukee Bucks minus 5,000 over the Orlando Magic.
I knew it. I knew it. I think the Magic are going to take one, though.
They'll take one. Oh, yeah. I firmly believe that the Magic will find a way.
They try on defense.
But, man, they're banged up.
Oh, yeah. Without Isaac, what the hell's up with Mo Bamba? We need to can his ass.
No, it's just a bad draft pick.
I know, but... Well, you say that our whole everything we've done has been bad draft picks. I mean, look at Daniel. Oh, Orton.
Jonathan Isaac was a good draft pick.
John Isaac was good.
I think Aaron Gordon was a good draft pick.
Yeah, they need to get rid of him. He's at his ceiling.
Probably, but
get Keith on here from Dimes on Duval.
Yeah, and have him break it down.
I would love that. Why not?
I know. Yeah,
come draft. Right before the draft or draft lottery, let's have Keith on.
No one breaks down the draft like he does. So yeah, we'll have him on for that.
We need him on. Tell him. I want to hear his opinion too, because this Magic team, I've been telling you this since before the season. We need a scorer so bad. We have more forwards than we can shake a stick at. Get rid of Aaron Gordon. Yeah, he can jump high and he can drop 20 every now and then. He's not elite, and we have enough guys with higher ceilings. In your Jonathan Isaac, I guess this isn't a Magic podcast, so I'll stop. But I would not touch that game with a million foot pole. But we all know where that one's going. Bucks are taking that one. If you want to throw the money down and risk it, I mean, I guess do it.
I mean, you could just bet on the Bucks and make like $2.
Well, yeah,
unintended, I guess there.
Yeah, that's why they do it.
You make a buck to bet on the Bucks. That'd be about it. At this point.
Wow, very good. You're about as good as rhyming and rapping as Beckett was prior to the show.
I know, yeah. We got a little, maybe we'll sprinkle that in at some point. We got a little bit of his singing.
You need to
his
use some
singing.
Of his sound effects just on the background of stuff.
I know. We're starting to compile some now. It's come a long way since the first time I recorded him and he wasn't really talking much. We've come a long way in the last 6 months.
Oh, he got fluent within like these past 2 weeks.
Yeah. Oh, geez.
Oh, listen to this. While we're talking about Beckett. So today I pick him up from school, and there was this lady in a Highlander in front of us. And she's putting her two kids in the car, and he's staring at her. And I was like, "What are you looking at, buddy?" He's like, "That mama." And I said, "Oh, okay, well, what about that mama?" He goes, "That's cool, mama. That's a cool mama." I was like, "What? Like, how random is that? And how does a 2-year-old even know how to talk like that?"
Yeah, well, obviously, shots fired at Ashley. I mean,
I didn't tell her. He's never called her cool. I was like, ooh. Yeah. If he knows how to say it and he's not calling her cool, that's a problem.
That is not, yeah. Ooh, hot seat.
Yeah. Ashley. Oh, yeah, there you go. Cold as ice. Ashley Turco falling on the cold as ice.
What's a series that you're interested in? A first round series that you're most interested in, I should ask.
You know, I'm excited about that Denver game, that Denver Jazz series. I'm excited about the Lakers and the Portland Trail Blazers. But the one that I'm going to be locked into is the one that's on right now that Boston just won to take game one. The Boston Celtics, Philadelphia 76ers. Joel Embiid is out to prove it. He's been trying to prove it without Ben Simmons lately. And once Ben Simmons got injured, they apparently don't really like each other anyway. And the actual product on the floor is better when the 76ers don't have Ben Simmons. So how are they going to match up with all of those players I mentioned earlier on the Boston Celtics, the Jason Tatums, the Jaylen Browns, the Kemba Walkers, Marcus Smart, Gordon Hayward, all these guys that haven't necessarily won anything and haven't put it together in big moments, but are all pretty good players, really good players in Kemba's case. And Jason Tatum is an up-and-comer in the NBA. I mean, he's going to be a monster. So I'm excited to see that. And then Al Horford, that storyline against his old team. But what about you? What do you have your eye on here as we move forward? And you can't say the Magic and the Bucks.
No, yeah, definitely not that one. Outside of just pure fandom where I'll be keeping an eye on it because just being a Magic fan and they're in the playoffs and you kind of want to see what happens.
You'll need
there,
a full ice mule cooler to get through that one.
Yeah. As opposed to last year when they won game one and kind of got on that train and got a little hype for it. I mean, this team's just not close to 100% and they're playing an even, well, I don't know, hard to say they're playing a better team, but they're playing a team that they would probably match up okay with if they were actually 100%, but I don't know. We'll see. The 76ers Celtics series, like you mentioned, is one that I'm curious about because of just how the 76ers are doing it when they don't have Simmons, when Embiid, you know, is a big man that has to come out of games for stretches. Like, he can't play an entire game. It's just not possible, that kind of deal. I'm also intrigued by that Clippers-Mavericks series just because, like, Luka Doncic, like, I feel like I've all of a sudden discovered him in the bubble. Like, I didn't watch many Mavs games in the last 2 years.
He's fun to watch, man. And loves that step back three, even though
he's not very good at it.
Yeah, I was about to say, percentage-wise, it's actually, they let him take it.
I just love seeing him kind of at his size pro
point,
you know, and get into the paint and kind of, I mean,
and
I think the Clippers
fast.
No. I think the Clippers win the series pretty easily just because they match up well. Dallas has struggled with them in that matchup because they defend real well. They're big and physical, but they're just a fun team to watch. The Mavericks are up and coming in that regard. And then, and then as that Utah Denver series, I'm in on that one too. Just
that's might be as evenly matched as I think the 76ers and
that one's really close too.
And Celtics is very evenly matched, but you know, first round, almost always the top seed wins and moves on. Almost always.
Nikola Jokic and like the 1 to 2 times a game where he just grabs a rebound and quickly turns and throws a 60-yard bomb.
Yeah,
that is right on the money every time, like effortlessly. I mean, he's a better quarterback than half the guys in the NFL right now, as far as his accuracy. I mean,
yeah, he's no Mitch Trubisky, right, Taylor?
Yeah, I trust him throwing it deeper than Josh Allen. I mean, geez.
Yeah.
He's taking a round object and dropping it in on a dime.
I want to hear from Taylor Dahl. Who would she take, him or Mitch Trubisky?
For the Bears this season, are you signing Nikola Jokic?
Once he can see ends? Over the offensive line very well.
Put him in the gun, man.
See the whole field.
All day long.
That would be, it'd be funny to hear an NFL scout. You know, they'd be like, very raw, talented. There's a nice deep ball. Can see over the line. Big hands. They
really concerned about his ability to read a defense and hit the intermediate throws.
Yeah, but those big hands, man, they'd put him over first round over that.
Well, this will be fun. NBA playoffs underway. This is what we've been gearing up toward, waiting toward. I mean, I sort of had a minor rant about that, or what was that, like a week or two ago now, about how I was bored of the regular season NBA already. That we had a nice little taste of it.
I was disappointed.
We had a great taste of it on Saturday with that play-in game and watching Memphis and Portland and John Morant and Damian Lillard go head-to-head. That was a blast. And now we're in for another month, really, of great basketball action on a seemingly nightly basis. So should be a lot of fun there.
And I'm glad they did the big doubleheader and all that today.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Getting ready to put all that stuff in there. If you're working from home still, you know, I think it put you on ice a couple of weeks ago because you were going back into the office. But what you're floating back and forth now? Sometimes in, sometimes not?
Yeah, today I had to go in. I had a client meet me there. And then, obviously, you can print, you can scan, you can do all that from there. So I had some stuff to get done. I'm completely content, you know, being at home. And obviously, I could have the NBA.
Yeah.
I'm in the background, so why not?
I've got to go start going back in this week, but we're splitting it off. So a couple of days a week where we all have like assigned days, but you know, that's why I've got a second monitor in the office, you know, pull it up on that feed and then get your work done on the computer while the game's playing on the monitor. That's the move.
We missed out on March Madness this year.
Exactly.
So we didn't get to really utilize our
skills
Olympics that
we these things were during the slower times or the
exciting
times.
We've built up
these
skills of being able to multitask and keep a full keen eye on sports while at work and a little bit of sneakiness involved too. And now we don't have any of that. It's real shame. Yeah.
Well, heck, even like my clicker finger, I'm still getting it back into shape on the recoil and everything like that.
Oh yeah.
It's
oh, yeah.
It's you don't realize the skills that you sometimes lose. It's kind of like riding a bike, but you gotta get back into the saddle a little bit there and get used to it.
The things we do for sports. I mean, what a sacrifice, Scott. I'm proud of you, actually. I want to tell you that. I'm proud of you.
Of me? Why is that?
For getting back into the swing of things and not losing your way, getting your clicker finger back and all that. I mean, the determination you're showing during this virus is impressive.
Well, the best part was is that I invested in, like, I don't have regular cable, but I invested in YouTube TV, which is like cable but via the internet, you know. So it has a guide I can navigate, you know. It's not like you're streaming where you got to go to the apps all the time. So it's like I finally did it because it's like I gotta watch. I can't do this for sports watching anymore. Like I have to be able to just change channels, not have to back out, go back to the menu, open up the ESPN, you know, all that jazz. And I mean, I no sooner got it, but then the world shut down, you know, like I didn't even hardly have a chance to break it in before there were no sports to watch anymore at this point. So I'm finally now getting used to the interface and navigating and all that jazz. And we're into a nice little bit of a rhythm now, which is good. But yeah, it took a little time. It took a little time for me to get totally used to it. What do you say we transition into our segments here? That sound good to you?
I mean, as long as it's a Waller of the Week, do you have one?
I do have one. But before we get to that, I've got a Cold as Ice here. And, of course, the Cold as Ice segment is presented by Ice Mule Coolers, the official sponsor of the Sports Bar Podcast. Ice Mule Coolers, Alex and I coming to you from our mobile Ice Mule Cooler studios today. And, you know, it was... Heat index well over 100 this weekend, Alex. I mean, you needed an ice mule cooler.
I sweat through 3 shirts each day.
You needed an ice mule cooler to keep all of those drinks cold all weekend long, no matter what. So if you haven't gotten one yet, what are you waiting on? You know, here in Florida, it doesn't get any cooler anytime soon. So you're going to want a cooler, one that's going to get the job done. And you can do that at Ice Mule. So on ice this week, none other than one, Kyle Busch. It has just been a year for Kyle Busch, the reigning champion.
Eric's favorite driver.
Yeah, in the NASCAR Cup Series. He had a DNF 2 weeks ago, first guy to wreck. I mean, he wrecked like 10 laps in. And then this past week, no better on the Daytona road course, finishes 37th out of 39. I mean, at this point, we're talking about how, let me double check the standings here real quick, but I don't think that he is in 10th place right now, but things aren't looking real sweet for him to be able to do much this year at this point. So it'll be tough for Kyle Busch. You know, nobody shedding any tears here for Kyle struggling.
No, that's for sure.
Meanwhile, I've got my Chase Elliott shirt on here, the guy who won the race at the Daytona road course yesterday. So shout out to him.
Shout him out, baby.
Yeah. Shout out to him. Moving on, because I do have a Waller of the Week, and I do want to get to the Waller of the Week. And this was a late entry.
I love that segment.
By the way,
I love it.
Late entry here. And for those who don't know, hey, you know, Waller of the Week, what we're telling you is just think before you act involving Twitter. We so many takes out there, many of them bad. We're just trying to use a PSA and convince you that you don't have to be a candidate for a Waller of the Week. And this one
just don't suck.
Yeah, just this one's great. This one shows up today, by the way. I literally talked about how I think people had been listening to me last week when I did the PSA at the end of the show. I thought that maybe because I hadn't seen so many bad takes this past week, maybe they heard me. But then Elliot Shore Parks, who is a Eagles reporter and podcaster, he came out with this one today. I could maybe score a touchdown. I could probably get 2 points in an NBA game. I could luck into a home run. I could play hundreds of games of hockey and never, ever score a goal. It looks impossible. All right, Alex, there was, 4 sentences in that tweet, and only one of them was accurate.
What?
This dude thinks he could score in an NBA game, score a touchdown in a football game.
The one that makes me say absolutely no way
is the home run.
You're not hitting a home run. Yeah.
You're this not dude's not even touching run. The ball.
Yeah, are you shitting like, me? I need to pull this guy
he
up.
He climbs into the box against Max Scherzer. Like, he's not even seeing it. Unbelievable. Yeah, he thinks he could luck into a home run. He'd be lucky if he shattered a bat.
Yeah. This, the guy's from Philly. I bet he knows how to skate. If you know how to skate, you can accidentally on a power play or something.
You could have a deflection off your – you don't have to move your stick. The puck could just hit it and could deflect in. If anything, you could almost get luckier in hockey than any of the other ones.
Yeah. But I still I'd agree with that.
All you're going to do is hold your stick there and maybe it deflects.
And I don't
–
and I'm
off.
With you. I'm with you. I still don't think he'd score.
I'm pretty sure, and I'll have to check, I'm pretty sure this guy – is a known troll, and I'm pretty sure one of my old coworkers, who is a sometimes listener of the pod, Chris Lehane, if he's listening, maybe he'll chime in and let me know. But he's complained about an Eagles podcaster before because he's an Eagles fan. His family's all from up there, and I think this is the guy. This is in his bio, Alex, and maybe I should have taken everything he said after this with a grain of salt anyway, because the last line of his bio is a bad take is better than no take at all, which is.
There
I mean,
is.
He might as well just put Waller in his bio because that seems like what he's going for.
You should honestly just on that tweet, just in the comments, just comment. I don't even know the Waller guy's first name.
I should just comment underneath. Maybe I should just start dropping into these people's mentions and just hashtag Waller of the week.
We should. And no one will ever know what it is. Let's do it. Why not?
All right. I'm going to do that tonight before I go to bed and then see if anybody. If anybody even asks or figures it out, you know?
No, it might take years. It might take years. I'll keep drinking beer and doing this show with you, and one day we'll figure it out.
Sprinkling Easter eggs in there, yeah. Oh, this guy, he was meant for this award. I mean, he was trying to win it, I think.
He feels like Waller.
Yeah, yeah, he's like
the
a cousin of him.
The guy that said that Waller thing that started this about Xavier.
Yeah. Maybe that guy was copying off this dude.
Yeah.
This dude may have set the tone.
Maybe he's his mentor where he says bad take is better than no take at all. That's that's a perfect motto for these guys.
What a brutal line. What a loser you have to be to sit there and put that in. Good.
Just get something out there. Can you imagine? Just get it out there.
How many friends does that guy have? Negative one?
Well, he definitely has one or two, but they don't.
They're not friends with him. They just tolerate him. Like,
right. They don't hang out. It's just
Well, they're never texting him. He texts them, and then they're like, oh, God.
No doubt.
Elliot's calling again. Should I pick up? Yeah, I guess so. All right. Well, Waller of the Week. It's amazing. Even on a week in which it seemed like we wouldn't have one, we had one because that's just the way this thing goes. Folks, just think before you tweet. And a bad take is never better than no take at all.
That's a clickbait artist there.
Oh, God, yeah. Time for the football fix. You ready? Let's go.
Yeah, I'm ready. You know I'm all in on football all year round. We finally have every week we're closer.
Yeah.
You know,
I gave you the numbers at the top.
We're 24 days away right now as I sit, 23 as you listen. Yeah. And the SEC announced their schedule today. Florida, Alabama, LSU, Georgia all getting the cakewalk.
Is there something to the fact that the SEC made no bones about the fact that they were just trying to help out the best teams here? Do you almost have a weird sort of respect for that?
No, I mean, it's. I guess if we put it that way, it's a
little. It's like, hey, we don't want anything to get in the way. Like, they're trying to go, I think, 3-for-4 in the playoff. Like, they're trying to get, like...
Oh, they are salivating at the fact that they know they're getting two in. They know they're getting two in.
We're going to make sure that we have three teams with one loss, you know, in this thing or something like that.
It's tough. I mean, they literally gave them nobody. I looked at the schedule all excited. I was like, okay, maybe Florida caught Bama. Maybe Florida caught... you know, you name it. I just didn't see a team on there that was going to – they were going to lose to. Georgia's a tough game, of course. LSU's a tough game. But LSU just lost a generation quarterback in Joe Burrow. Yeah, I know. It caught my tongue for a minute.
but they're supposed to have a pretty good guy there underneath him. But still, Florida, Georgia, by the way, officially announced.
Miles Brennan, whatever his name is.
Officially announced today that that is set for November 7th at TIAA Bank Field.
I saw that. I love that.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm very who knows if anybody will be there. But
right. I'm interested to see what they do about fans because that's what makes that game so special.
Exactly, exactly. Well, whatever it looks like, I have a hard time imagining it's going to look like it normally does. So it just depends on what different version of it looks like this year. So very interesting. I don't know. We'll see how that all plays out. But the SEC, they have paved the golden road for their best teams, and we'll see if they're able to take advantage of it or not. Speaking of teams at the top or trying to play their way to the top, Alex, a little over a week ago, the first coaches poll came out. Why is this significant? There are multiple teams in this poll that aren't going to be playing this fall now. And for many, it has been an argument for years that the polls are absurd, ridiculous, and lead to confirmation bias because of the fact that you put these teams in there based off of nothing at the beginning of the year other than a name and what they did the year before, and then use that to formulate what you do and how you vote the remainder of the year. Can this be the end of it? The AP hasn't released theirs yet. They're probably scrambling trying to figure out who the heck they're going to put in there. We're going to end up with, you know, Boston College and Florida State 23 and 24 and Wake Forest 25 at this point. But what are we going to do? There's no way there's enough teams that are going to be playing that are any good to rank them.
The poll has been pointless.
The preseason polls.
The preseason, yes, the preseason. Now, me and you also have to, you know, we're a little bit calling the kettle black because I've known my whole life a Scott Manzi to go pick up an Athlon Sports magazine.
Yeah, believe it or not, I just broke that tradition. Not this year, but the previous year. It was the first time I hadn't bought one in 16 years, yeah, probably, something like that.
I was going to say, easily, since you were...
Yeah, 13 10. Years old, 12 yeah. years old, somewhere in that range. Yeah, yeah. It had been a long time. Yeah, no, I'm with you. There's
you got
something,
me in on that tradition. So
there's some fun with that fodder. But you can do it without a poll. You can do it with power rankings. You can do it, you know, with all this stuff that doesn't...
What's a power ranking and a poll? It's the same thing.
But the polls, people actually look at those like they have some meaning to them.
Yeah.
People picking up an Athlon and they look at their rank, that doesn't mean anything other than what Athlon...
So the polls are pointless, and we see someone week one always lose, and we're like, oh, my God, upset, number 5, Washington, and then Washington goes on to win 4-8. Yeah, 5-7, whatever, you name it. That happens all the time. Or Utah is not ranked, and then they, you know, go 7-0, and they're like, oh, what a darling. But my question for you is, this all comes back to TV, right? Because they expect Alabama to be good. They expect USC... You know, name your team, not USC lately, but name in a preseason poll. Florida State the other year before DeAndre Francois got hurt, perfect example. They talked about this weeks in advance, Alabama versus Florida State.
Yeah, that was
Florida
State. 1-3, I think?
1-3. Highest-ranked preseason game ever. Highest-ranked non-conference. And Florida State went to go, you know.
They played in the...
Southern
Independence
Miss in the
Bowl.
Independence Bowl in Shreveport, Louisiana.
On a Wednesday afternoon.
The walk-on Independence Bowl, yeah. I had to walk out, take a late lunch for work and not return. I had to find a local bar near work.
Not the worst thing in the world in that regard. But you're right. This is all about the networks being able to...
I agree with you that they're crap, though. Let me be clear with that. They are crap. Yes. But there's a reason for them because week one, when you are looking at your TV guide, you're like, that's the one I'm going to watch.
Oh, look at this. This is ranked team versus ranked team. That's better than a game that could end up being significantly better. I mean, we've seen quite a bit of that.
Yeah, and you look back and say, wow, that was actually a good matchup. And not a bad loss. Yeah. You know, week one, someone
Florida State Boise State was one of the – I mean – brutal for us, but it was one of the more interesting and exciting games week one last year, whereas, you know, you had some of those ranked. I mean, that Oregon-Auburn game was a snooze fest minus the final drive.
Yeah, the final
drive. That was a high-ranked matchup or whatever, and, you know, Bo Nix drops one miraculous pass in there, and next thing you know, Pac-12's out of the playoff again. But week one, but
yeah,
you know,
that's just why I don't think they're going anywhere, though.
No, you're right. You're right.
That's why, because as I think through it, you know, I agree with you that they're just worthless. But then I was like, well, week one, they kind of push me where I need to go or where I should go. They know what they're doing.
Speaking of Florida State, there was another minor incident this past week in which a player came out and, well, eventually several players ended up coming out, all noticeably from the same position group, and started speaking about how they didn't feel like they were getting enough information on the school's,
the glamour and glam
from COVID-19 protocols. So, fortunately, it seems like another one that kind of blew over pretty quickly. Mike Norvell, as opposed to his backtracking move the previous time with the Marvin Wilson incident and the comments after the comments following the George Floyd murder and his communication with the team, this one you could definitely tell he was digging his heels in a little more and felt like, hey, listen, I'm not actually in the wrong on this one. We got to get our guys to buy in. And then a bunch of the team came to his support too and felt that they were doing a fine job. But man, oh man, there has been just drama all throughout this offseason. What did you take from this?
Well, you know, my initial reaction, I tried not to knee-jerk because I said to myself...
How responsible of you, by the way?
Well, no. I was still frustrated. I'm just saying, I tried not to make it a big deal because look who said it. And you already said this to me when we talked about it off air. Look at the messenger.
Yeah.
Warren Thompson. What's he ever done except... be on the team, off the team, on the team, off the team, bought in with Willie Taggart, not bought in with Willie Taggart. His mom speaks out against Willie Taggart. He's a complete roller coaster. DJ Matthews, the guy that started all this, really, about a confirmed or...
Yeah, positive COVID test.
Reported positive COVID test. I mean, it was a disaster, though. The fact that our head coach had to be on the bottom line of ESPN over some crap that a receiver said was frustrating. And Mike Norvell made the media aware he was frustrated about that.
Yeah, he's used the term disappointed multiple times in his post-practice interview, which, by the way, all of this blew up in practice. Warren Thompson, not a practice, posted during practice, and Norvell walks off the field thinking, hey, we had a great day out there, and then gets bombarded by this. I mean... It's amazing he held it together as well as he did, quite honestly.
Well, hey, he is an absolute professional with the media. Watch what he does. He learned a huge lesson from the Marvin Wilson thing, by the way. Yeah. If you look back at that, it truly was. The players have even admitted this. He said he spoke to everyone. We've talked about this. When in reality, he said, I'm giving everyone the opportunity to speak to us. Mm-hmm. So it was a poor choice of words.
It was semantics. Yeah, and everybody came out and said it. He had used the wrong phraseology at a time in which you have to be very smart and precise with the phrasing
Correct.
That you do use.
Correct.
And he said that extensively after the fact.
And this past week with the Warren Thompson, DJ Matthews, Tamori and Terry issue, he came out and basically was like, you know, this is bullshit. We had a meeting we had a team meeting the day before. I thought we had great back and forth. I gave them all the information if they had any questions. It was an open forum for them to ask questions. And I thought we're all on the same page. They're either with us or they're not. These guys clearly aren't with us. And guess what? DJ Matthews, whether he has COVID or not, it's been pretty quiet from the Norvell and DJ Matthews front. I'm not so sure he's with the team anymore. And the reports are that he probably won't be. And then Warren Thompson was on thin ice prior to this.
Yeah. Norvell did come out on Monday and kind of reaffirmed that he's excited to coach Warren and all that. So,
well, Warren Thompson issued a formal public apology, and don't think for a second the public apology wasn't planned by Norvell being like, hey, you need to set the record straight or I'm not having it because you're cutting my legs out from under me.
Well, that's a good lesson for Warren Thompson, hopefully too, because like these guys,
and his talent is immense.
Yeah. I mean, there
If he can put it together, he had an issue with Willie Taggart. He wasn't with the team at the end of the year. Wasn't with the team when Norvell took it over. And Norvell and him met individually. He bought in, was all in, and You know, kind of, I'm kind of disappointed to see this too. I just thought he was a guy that started.
This is just another reason why, man, if Florida State can keep things kosher, you know, like there's not a North Carolina situation where there's an outbreak, right? Like guys are able to stay healthy and continue to practice and work forward. Even if the season is bastardized some way further down the line, like this time right now where Norvell is with the team is so valuable because he hadn't had hardly any of it. And you're seeing some of that too. I mean, he's a first-year head coach who really doesn't – the majority of the time he's spent with his team is via Zoom to this point.
Yeah.
And he needs more physical one-on, you know, hands-on operations with these
guys. The buy-in is so important because the culture has been so broken. So that's why I think he was truly disappointed. He's trying to get these guys to buy into the Norvell way. Yeah. And then he keeps, you know, having I said it earlier, his legs cut down from under him. He's getting just chipped away at a little bit. So having your leaders, Marvin Wilson, Jaden Lars Woodby, Asante Samuel Jr., those guys come out and say, hey, man, we're comfortable here. We're safe here. Coach has been open about our protocols. This is new for everyone. We want to play. That was huge.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, overall, and this is greater than a Florida State issue, but overall, all of these schools that are still planning on playing, the Big 12, the ACC, the SEC, foremost among them, open it up, man. Like, be forthcoming. Be transparent as you can legally be. And right now, a lot of these schools are hiding behind HIPAA, which is not accurate, because numbers are not protected by HIPAA. Players, people's names are protected by HIPAA, obviously. No one's asking for you to expose these guys, release names of those that test positive, but put out the numbers. Put out the, this is how many tests we ran. This is how many came back positive. This is how many came back negative. I mean, people right now just want information. And if you will share that with them, you will get the benefit of the doubt. More often than not, if you show that you're trying to be transparent. And that's what's frustrated, I think, people the most with this entire college football situation, is all we have heard is speculation from what has gone on behind closed doors. But we don't know with any real detail why two major conferences said we can't do this and why three major conferences said they can do this in the same exact country, in the same exact realm. So let's try and open it up. Let's try and just educate everybody more and be clearer, and we're all going to be better off for that in the long run. And guess what? Whatever you're this isn't hiding a depth chart. There's no strategic advantage. There's no strategic advantage to this. And if something bad goes wrong, like it is currently at North Carolina, people are going to find out. You can't keep it a secret. So I'm just, it isn't, it should
when
be
Sam Howell misses practice for 14 days, people are going to put it together when he comes back without an injury after 14 days.
Yeah. I mean, they've got a – we won't get into that, but they've got a real mess on their hands there right now. Okay. We've got announcing teams. And I know this is a bigger deal for me than you, but because it has to do with a entity that you complained about a lot, and friend of the program Colin McQuillan also complained about a lot over the course of the last couple of years, Monday Night Football.
Oh, he's a huge Monday Night Football guy.
Well, and he was anti-Joe Tess as they come.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Joe Tess out, Booger out. The year before that, Jason Witten out. We have a new booth. It is Steve Levy, Brian Greasy, and Louis Riddick. So they're going back to the three-man. They've got Steve Levy and Brian Greasy, who have worked together in college for something like 5 or 6 years together
now.
Yes,
they have, yeah.
And have good rapport. And then Louis Riddick, who obviously brings a breadth of knowledge, especially in the NFL, to the booth. A very intelligent guy.
I love Louis Riddick. In fact, listening to Louis Riddick, I like him so much and value his opinion so much. When I listen to him, I'm like, I mean, that guy's got to get back in the front office because he's very professional. He's very, he's a little... You know, he seems very disciplined in the way of everything. I'm like, that guy needs to be holding a position of power. I love that combo. What do you think? You dissect this stuff more than I do, but Steve Levy's a pro's pro. He's been around for a long time.
you know, my only beef with, and this is
real.
It's a
big stage for him, though.
This is real inside baseball. But my only beef with Steve Levy is sometimes it feels like he's calling the play a half beat behind it. Like the play has happened, and then he's like throws, and like the ball's already been caught. It's almost like he's watching it on a monitor that's on like a second delay or something occasionally. But that's real, just like a guy who analyzes this stuff, nitpick type thing. I doubt the average fan would notice that. He and Greasy have good rapport. This isn't shoehorning people that have never worked together into a booth, you know, like we've had with the last couple of combinations with
right
Joe
and trying to force chemistry that right, wasn't
right.
there.
The last booth was like that. The one before that with Sean McDonough and John Gruden was like that. I mean, those guys had never worked together, and there was a lack of chemistry because of it. This one, you'll probably have probably a little bit of growing pains just early on as they adapt to a three-man situation. But I think this one has a lot of promise to be able to work. And also, a little bonus here, Alex. You know how we get a Monday Night Football doubleheader in the first game of the season every year. Well, guess who's calling the other game of the doubleheader this year? None other than
crew?
Fowler and Herbstreit.
Yeah,
will be
the college
on the
crew.
Call. Yeah. And
yes.
And while I am
who doesn't love that?
While I am still somewhat lukewarm on Fowler, he's just maybe I've just never gotten over how unduly negative he was about Florida State several
in
years
2013.
Ago. Yeah, yeah, when he was still on game day.
By the way, he rooted against us openly.
Yeah, pretty much. Herbstreit is the best, though.
Hated Jameis. Herbie, probably still hates Jameis.
Herbie is so good at what he does. I love listening to his analysis. He's honest. He's well researched. I mean, he's going to do a great job. So
he seems like a super nice guy too,
yeah.
Doesn't he?
Yeah, and he actually has a person like sometimes you see him come out on Twitter, like he's not afraid to like say something, and it's always a well thought out thing. Like he's not just shooting from the hip like our buddy Elliot, just for the sake of having a take. But like he's not going to be so measured that he just doesn't say stuff either, you know. So I don't know. I like this. This is probably hopefully they get a few more NFL games if we end up with some, you know, more weirdness in the college football schedule.
I think the Jason Witten Booger McFarland experiment was so out of left field and. For ESPN, the brass over there at ESPN, to think that was a good idea from the start. I don't think anyone thought that was a good idea. Did they do it because he knows Tony Romo, Jason Witten? It's like,
I think it was almost like the Sean McVay thing where it's like everybody that had touched Sean McVay got a job there for a while.
We got to get him because he knows like, Romo and
yeah,
he
knows Jason Witten
is
like, yeah, well, he sat next to Romo for years, so they must be the same person.
Yeah, it made no sense. But this one, these guys are good in the booth already. They're going to have to, like you said, work through some of the pains of working together, but
yeah.
they're all in their own right good at what they do.
What if I told you the Southwestern Athletic Conference, also known as the SWAC, one of the two historically black colleges and universities predominant leagues in the country, who was one of the early ones to announce that they weren't going to play fall football, by the way, announced on Monday, today as we're recording this, that they've got a spring plan. We've heard spring football is in there, and I don't think anybody ever took it seriously.
You know,
honestly,
the Big Ten's got their eyes on this.
I hope they do, because the SWAC, they've already got a deal worked out with ESPN. They announced their spring plan. They put out the release on Monday. Non-conference date built in, but a majority conference schedule. They've got a bye week built in for the men's basketball and women's basketball conference tournament weekend so that people can support the fellow schools in the conference championships. And the season starts on February 27th and runs through May 1st when the championship game is. I mean, isn't this all we've been asking for? Come up with a plan, college football.
I like the idea that they have a plan, but they also have the opportunity – yeah, you're right.
To watch and learn. They do have the opportunity to watch and learn a little bit here on what's going on right now.
They can sit back and cancel if they have to. And then the other part is they're low.
Right.
Lower on the totem pole enough to where they're not going to make any waves if they end up having to can this. They can bag this with no repercussions. And on top of that, they don't have a bunch of players that are
NFL prospects.
Right.
Yeah.
They know their full product will be on the field and they're like, hey, we'll sign a TV deal because guess what? There's no football in spring. Oh, we'll be the only thing on.
Forget the XFL and the AAF. Are you kidding me? If we get like college football in the spring, heck yeah. Sign me up. I'm watching.
Right.
I'll watch SWAC.
That's their thought. I see the logic.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I'm just happy to see.
Hey, who's a group in the SWAC? Howard? Like, what do we got?
No. You've got Southern. You've got Alcorn State. Those are the two of the better. Nope. Hampton's in the Big South. You have, let's see, Mississippi Valley State, Texas State.
Is that
Texas
Jerry
Southern?
Rice, Mississippi Valley State.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's eventually FAMU and Bethune-Cookman are going to be in there in another year's time
FAMU
as well.
Good. FAMU
can
go in there and beat some ass.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, that'd be
big
good for
Rattler.
That.
Big Rattler.
Yeah.
Tallahassee,
right.
You got to.
Yeah. You got to support. Yeah. All right. My last piece for you here. We don't have any preseason football. So what is the official station of the Jacksonville Jaguars doing here in town? CBS 47 Action News. Well, they're showing some classic Jaguar playoff games, starting with on the 21st of August. That is this Friday, by the way, the 2017 divisional round game, the Jaguars win over the Steelers. You also, and I know you'll be setting your DVR for this one as well, on September the 4th, you can catch that awesome 2007 wild card round where the Jaguars beat the Steelers in the playoffs. So are you fired up for that like I am?
No. And I'm mad that you just announced that to our listeners for the opportunity to chime in. You know that I root for the Jags, but I'm always Steelers number one. I don't need to watch Garrard with that.
On the keeper, on
fourth
and one.
Down. Yeah, the first.
Garrard!
Yeah. I don't need it.
So good.
I don't need to see it again.
The boat.
Those were good games.
Outdueling Big Ben.
Both good games.
Unbelievable games.
Yeah.
I mean, that might have been the best game of the entire. The 2017 might have been the best one of the entire playoffs that year.
That one was, I mean.
I still don't believe that game happened.
Offenses. Yeah, I mean, the Jags' defense that year was unreal, and they could not stop the Steelers in the second half.
No, I mean, Antonio Brown, it was just Ben chucking it deep and saying, A.B., you're the best receiver in the game. Go get it.
Martavis Bryant and A.B., yeah. But, yeah.
But, like, that touchdown before the half,
yep.
That was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Absolutely ridiculous.
But ball couldn't be anywhere else.
Yeah. And still, like, not even, I wouldn't even say half the receivers in the NFL catch that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Antonio Brown. Hey, that's a guy that's out of the league right now.
Yeah, because he's psychotic.
I know. No, he is like psychotic.
He has mental issues.
No, he's actually like reminds me of the Joker from the Batman.
Yeah, like he.
Like
needs
I don't
to go
think
see somebody.
He knows. Yeah, no, he's got real, real, real problems. But
yeah, and I hope that he eventually comes to the realization that he needs some help because I
don't
want to see the guy.
It's just a shame that we're missing out on a receiver at the top of his prime, or in his prime, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not play. We haven't seen him do anything.
Right. Yeah. That happens, though. I mean, it seems to happen to receivers a lot.
We Josh just Gordon, talked about Warren Thompson for
Justin Blackmon. I mean, it must just be something in the chemistry of these receivers.
Look at the diva personality of all receivers, though.
Well, I mean, not all receivers. Well, Larry Fitzgerald's not a diva.
No. Yeah, but Scott, what's the most dramatic position on offense and defense? On offense, receiver, and defense, is defensive back.
Right.
These
okay.
guys are skill position.
Because it's, you know, it's mano-a-mano, but it's not in the trenches. So, you know, they're more svelte, that's more nuanced. It's, you know, that kind of thing. They're not just banging heads every 5 seconds.
That's true.
Well, hey, we survived another week, a little bit closer to football. Hopefully, a little bit closer. You know, weird to think that we're, I don't know. I think I said this last week, but it's just I'm watching NBA playoffs. We don't have a preseason poll, even though I just complained about it. We don't have like a real one. We don't really know when the season, like we're not a week out from football season starting. So it just doesn't feel like August, does it?
It doesn't. Well, what's crazy is, so I'm looking at my computer. The bottom right, obviously, is the time and date. And then you bring up Action Sports Jax playing Jags games instead of old Jags playoff games instead of preseason. And I was like,
yeah, preseason would have started this coming. I mean, we'd already be underway.
I was like, well, when does preseason even start? It starts in August. When is it? Like, I don't even know what time or day it is these days. So I'm like, oh my God, it's August 17th. Like, are you kidding me?
We're through August already.
And then Labor Day, someone texted me earlier, what are you doing for Labor Day? I was like, I don't know. That's like years away, right?
No.
It's 2 weeks. 3 weeks away. Yeah.
What is anybody doing for, I don't know, grilling out, right?
Someone wanted to know if I'm in town. That's what I meant.
Yeah, yeah.
Not like, what am I doing that specific day? They're like, are you in town Labor Day weekend? I was like, I don't know. Labor Day is a while away. And I looked at my calendar. I'm like, oh my gosh, 3 weeks away.
Tell you what, I'll be in town because I'm not going anywhere anytime soon. So,
well, how about we drink some beer, watch some NBA playoffs here. We'll talk about the Sports Bar Podcast presented by Ice Mule Coolers as usual. And guess what? A special treat for our listeners. We haven't had a guest on in a while, and this one is a fun one. Make sure you tune in next week on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Google Play, right? Google Podcasts?
Google Podcasts, yes.
Google Podcasts. You can find us on all three of those. We do have some clamoring from some of our fans to post this show live so people can tune in on our Zoom meetings, but we're not going to do that quite yet. Tune in next week. You know where to find us. And me and Scott will be back with another episode of the Sports Bar Podcast. We're looking forward to it. And y'all be safe.